morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Good morning, His Tabernacle live stream. Can we give a shout of praise to the Lord for what He's done, what He is doing, and what He's about to do? Amen. It's always good to be in the house of God. And our prayer is that you came expecting this morning, that you came desperate and hungry to be intimate with God, because He is desperate to be intimate with you. So this morning you have an opportunity to enter in, not just to the outer courts, not just to the inner courts, but into the very holy of holies. How many of you are thankful that we have the ability to enter in to the holy of holies, to experience the promises and the presence and the glory of God day in and day out? Amen. We have some great things for you to get busy with, get involved with here at His Tabernacle. And if you are a guest in the house, we're going to ask you to just raise your hand. We just want to welcome you. Go ahead and raise your hand if you're a guest. Can we give a round of applause to our guests in the house? Directly after service, on this side of the building, we have a connect room that we would love to invite you to join us in. It's an opportunity for us to get to know you, for you to get to know some of the leaders and the staff that attend His Tabernacle. Also, we'll have an opportunity to tell you about some of the things that happen here throughout the week. There is never a reason for you to feel alone when you attend this church. There are always groups for you to participate with, classes for you to learn from. So we would love to be able to connect with you directly after service, that side of the building, and we'll have some refreshments as we fellowship with one another. Now, May 7th and 8th. Ladies, say May 7th and 8th. Yes, that is our women's weekend, and we will be having a brunch. Amen. May 7th, it's a Friday night. May 8th, Saturday morning, it's only $20. So if you would like to participate with that, make sure that you go to the desk in the foyer. We would love to get you registered. It's going to be a powerful time of equipping God's handmaidens. Amen. Then May 9th through the 30th, we are going to have 21 days of praise. Can we give a shout out to Jesus? 21 days of praise. This has not just been something that our pastors decided to do because we needed to have something to do. They're doing it because it has been a decree from God for us to do. Not just your standard everyday praise, but a strategic praise, a sacrifice of your time as praise, your daily worship as praise. So this is going to happen for 21 days, May 9th through May 30th at 7 p.m. Please move everything that you can move to participate with this. This will change everything. Everything. Also, your children are welcome. There will not be children's ministry, but there is no better place than for your kids to be in a place where God's people are hungry to praise Him. Now, I would like to invite Susan Carberry to come up. That's right.
Thank you. Good morning, His Tabernacle. I would like to passionately encourage you to stop at the table that I have outside there, not rush out like I always do. I have 40 little lives on that table. I don't know if you're familiar with Compassion International, but they are phenomenal. I didn't know about them 13 years ago when I was a single mom and a young artist, a worship artist came here and I stopped at his table and I thought, I can't afford to do this. I'm trying to sponsor my own child. But it's $38 a month. That's $1.26 a day. And I'm telling you, I have learned intimately because I got to meet my child randomly on a mission trip. And they are boots on the ground. They fully change a child's life because it's a Christ-centered program with a pastor. It's a whole community. Some of these kids wouldn't even go to school without Compassion. And they follow them to 22 years old, training, even get them into university. A lot of the workers in Compassion are actually former sponsored children. I cannot say enough, but it would change your life. They write to you, and they translate your letters to them. And when they get sponsored by one of you, they literally jump up and down because it will change their life. Please come visit me. And thank you. Thank you so much. Because this, Jesus said, whoever did for the least of my brothers and sisters, you did unto me. This is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. I'd love you to come and at least just talk to me. Thank you. Please welcome Pastor Michael, Rhonda, Spencer. Pastor,
how are you? We love you. And I will tell you about Compassion International. Your money goes to the children.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, there are a lot of places that do this with the children. And legally, I think it's only 10 or 15% of every dollar has to go to the child. But Compassion International, the majority of all the money goes to the children. They don't keep it for admin costs. So it's a great organization. Salvation people. I mean, it's good. Hi. Did I say that right? Salvation people? What a great day. Are you ready for an awesome week? Listen now, I don't know about you, but I just love hope. How many of you love hope?
Yes, amen.
And I looked at the weather this week, and hope grew. Amen. 70 degrees, I believe. Almost 80 degrees. My God, he's faithful. Woo! Jesus is good. Are you ready to worship him today?
Amen.
I want to encourage you. Some of you have never done worship. You've watched. And that's okay. It's okay to acclimate. But someday you're going to need to step in and do something you've never done before to get a result you've never had before.
Amen.
Today I challenge you to worship God in a new way. Maybe you've never lifted your hands to Jesus. Maybe you've only lifted half mast. Maybe you've only gone one hand. Go two hands today. Go full mast today. Maybe you've never moved a little.
Actually, Pastor and I, we've been listening to praise worship, not worship, but praise music throughout the night. And
all night.
It's so funny because we both, when we wake up in the middle of the night, our feet are moving throughout the night.
This morning, this joy that I have.
Yes, the world ain't given and the world can't take it
away. Have you ever heard that song? This joy that I have.
One of my favorites.
The world didn't give it to me.
I won't sing
this
it.
Joy that I have. I think, can you go G? Ready? This joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. Come on, one more time. This joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. Now hold on. At 4 a.m. my foot's going like this. Because the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor Rhonda, lead us in prayer.
Father, we just love you so much. You are an awesome God.
Yes, you are.
We love your presence.
Hallelujah.
We love the privilege of coming into your house and
bless
giving
your name,
you
oh
praise
God.
And lifting you high. Woo. That you would draw
Holy Ghost.
A man unto you. God,
Holy
it's
Ghost.
In your presence. In
Holy
this
Ghost.
Place. Where two or three are gathered, there you are in our midst. All of your power, all of your glory, all of your might, everything that we need. Father God, we know that we know that we know that you change everything this morning, right now, as we enter into praise. We love you, Jesus, in your precious, mighty name.
Amen.
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 Thank you. Christ if you are healed this morning. Hallelujah. Goodness gracious. Y'all make me want to have church already. Come on, we can start. Come on.
Come on and say, the same God. You're my healer, the same God. You're my healer, the same God. You're my provider. You're my provider, the same God.
Come on and sing this out. You're my strong tower.
You're my strong tower, the same God.
And you. Out, say, you are Jesus,
and you are Jesus, the same God.
You are Jesus,
you are Jesus, the same God.
Say, you are holy,
you are holy, the same God.
Say, you are mighty,
and you are mighty, the same God.
You're doing it all again. Yeah. Come on and give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Come on and give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is so. It is so.
What you started. Say-
Some of you are feeling very unlovely this morning. I want you to know that he sees way past what you see in yourself. He has such a love for you, such a passion for you, such, come on now, a mercy for you, that even when you're not patient for yourself, he's being patient for you. He's not going to give up. He's not going to walk away. He's not going to throw in the towel in your life. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He has seen far, far worse characters than you have a life change. So don't take your eyes off of Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you so much for caring for us. God, sometimes we forget. We forget what this is all about. It's easy to become about church. It's easy to become about religion. It's easy to become about do's and don'ts. But it's all about you. And thank you that you want us. Who is God that he is mindful of man? Thank you for loving us, Father. And today, for those that are struggling, we release that anointing that will sure you up inside that God loves you. He'll never give up. He'll never give up. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't it good to know God will never give up on you? Some of you have given up on yourself. You got to stop that. You throw in your own towel. Listen, that's not even your towel to throw. You were talking yesterday, Pastor Andrea. He's not just the author. He is author. He is author. You don't have a towel. The author only has the towel. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Don't you give up. Don't you step back. Don't you throw in a towel that you don't even own. One day, my wife, we had a toilet overflow, and she grabbed my towel. That wasn't her towel. That was my towel. It doesn't matter, it's still my towel. She had no right to throw my towel on the floor and start mopping. Listen, here's the fact. You don't have the right to throw in a towel that you don't even own. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's going to not only get you through, he's going to get you over the top. Amen? Because he's a good God, and he's greatly to be praised. Amen? You may be seated this morning. No, I believe, yeah, we're going to need the iPad and stuff like that. I believe Miss Carla is coming for the offering.
Good morning, family.
Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. I'm excited to be in the house of God with all of you this morning. I love the Holy Spirit. You love the Holy Spirit? I just love that the scripture that the Lord put on my heart is right in line with what the Lord just spoke to you about how much he cares for you. Our scripture for today in the offering is 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, somebody might say, well, what on earth does that have to do with money? Well, there's another version that says, cast all your anxieties on him. Anybody relate to anxiety about money or cares about money? So that's how it relates. And so when I was in the fourth grade, we had a really big kickball rivalry between all of our fourth and fifth and sixth grade classes. Some of my classmates are in here. They can testify. And they can also testify probably to how bad a kickball player I was. So I was always the one that was like the last one to get picked, standing waiting. Oh, pick me, pick me. And nobody ever picked me. But then sometimes I got to be the captain. So that was always I always looked forward to that because I got to pick who was going to be on my team. And so I want to talk to you today about picking who's on your team when it comes to finances. You know, you're the captain, and here's all your cares and anxieties, right? And you're carrying these, and you're standing there, and Jesus is over there being waiting to be picked, right? And so if you're not tithing, then you're not picking Jesus. You're going to go on the field or onto the court with this thing all by yourself. And all those other team, the opposite team is going to come at you and they're going to surround you and you're not going to have anywhere to put this. You don't have a teammate to pass it to because you're out there all by yourself, right? Maybe you give, but you don't tithe at the 10%. So that's like, okay, yes, I pick Jesus. He's on my team, but you leave him on the bench and you never put him in the game, right? And so then, if you are a tither, then you've cast your care upon him, and you've surrounded yourself with the best players on the team, and you will always reach your goal when Jesus is on your team and you've activated him in your finances. And the way to do that is by tithing. So I encourage you, if you haven't already begun, that you start. And if you are tithing, continue, because the blessings keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger the longer you operate in God's economy. So we are going to have the ushers bring out the offering buckets. We are going to ask you to put your mask on when you bring your offering up to the front. And then if you'll stand with me, or the back, forgive me. There is a bucket in the back. If you choose not to bring your offering to the front, you can drop it in the back on your way out or right now if you want. And if you'll stand with me and hold up your offerings, we're going to declare the word of the Lord over our finances this week. And it says in Deuteronomy 28, if I obey, I am blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up, because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Go ahead and bring your offerings to the Lord.
I got great news. Minister McKenzie is out of town. I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. Something about that Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I got it. I got it. I got it.
can't explain it, but I got it. Come on now, I got it in my hands. Got it in my hands. Got it in my feet. Well, I got it in my walk. Got it in my talk. Well, I got it in my hands. Got it in my feet. Well, I got it in my walk. Got it in my talk. Something about that Holy Ghost.
I can't explain it, but I got it.
Okay, here's the rules. I can't sing. Thank you. You need to stand up, because if you can sit during this song, I'm doing it wrong. Everybody stand to your feet. When we get to I got it in my hands, I need some helpers up here. Who's going to? Pastor Abina Ebo. Come on up here, Pastor Abina Ebo. Pastor Jenkins, come on up here with me now. Ooh, ooh. Pastor Cody Spencer, come on up here, please. Cole, come on up here, please. On that side, this side. You guys need to sing strong for me, okay? Over there. I need somebody else over there. All right, now, you got it? I got it.
I got it. I got it. I got it. Something about that Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I got it.
Come on now. I got it.
I got it. I got it. I got it.
Well, I got it in my hands, I got it in my feet, well, I got it. your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's something about that Holy Ghost. I said there's something about that Holy Ghost. Oh, some churches, they're afraid of the Holy Ghost. You can't be afraid of the Holy Ghost. He's God working in your life. My goodness, don't be afraid of the Holy Ghost. There's something about that Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I got it. When you get the Holy Ghost down in your soul, oh, that's an old song. I got the Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible says. I got the Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible says. I got the Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible says. I've been to the river. No, I don't know the rest of the song. It's dangerous when Minister McKenzie's not here. My soul got happy, and it feels all right. Listen, when you get the Holy Ghost, He changes your life. Well, Pastor, I'm saved. I got the Holy Ghost. You do. That's true. The Spirit of God dwells in you. You became the temple of the Holy Ghost. But in the book of Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, go tarry in Jerusalem till you see the promise of the Father. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. You need the Holy Ghost in your life. You need a stronger influence of the Spirit of God in your life. And that just happens to be what we're preaching about this morning. See, God is calling us to consecrate. God is calling us to be holy. God is calling us to walk different than that of the world. And I got great news for you. Turn to someone and say, He's got great news. You can't do it without the Holy Ghost. You can't do it by your arm of flesh. You can't do it by willpower. You can't get it done through good counseling or even some good drugs. You need the Holy Ghost. The church has got to come back to the Holy Ghost. You know what? I just feel the need that you need to play while I'm preaching today. Miss McKenney, she's on an airplane. She can't even hear nothing. So glory to God. It is impossible to be successful in your walk with God without the Holy Ghost, not only present, but working in your life. We must come back to the Holy Ghost. You see, the church has extracted the Spirit of God from the house of God because they are intimidated by what He's going to do. They're afraid to offend people, scare people away. But I'm here to tell you where you're going to scare them, to hell number one, hell number two, or hell number three. The fact is that the church without the Holy Ghost is nothing more than a religious organization. We must have the Spirit of God so present in our church that we are overwhelmed, overcome, and if God wants to change something, He can do it. Lickety-split. If God wants to do a miracle, lickety-split. If God wants to deliver you from devils, lickety-split. But you see, you can't do that without the Holy Ghost. This last day move that God is doing, it's not going to be a church of religion. It's not going to be a denominational title. It is going to be people that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness and want the Holy Ghost. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of His great love, so rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give Him more of me. There's a time to get back to the Holy Ghost. Say amen. Amen. Isaiah 43:19. Listen carefully. I'm about to do a... Come on now. I'm about to do a... Come on now. I'm about to... Do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? And I'm telling you right now, churches that have extracted the Holy Ghost, churches that have extracted the power of God, churches that have extracted the freedom of the Spirit of the Lord in their services will miss the next outpouring of the Spirit of God.
lives. Listen now, I'm talking right in this room. Lives that will not allow the Spirit of God to move freely in you, you are going to miss the next outpouring of God's Spirit. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven, but baby, this is not about going to heaven or you'd already be there. This is about you and I fulfilling God's purpose for our lives on this planet. This is about you and I showing forth the light of heaven on this planet. And it cannot come through the light of man. It must come through the light of the Spirit of God. And God, by His Spirit, is ready to pour Himself out, as was prophesied in Joel chapter 2. But the Spirit of God can't do that if He's not allowed to run free. Bible says, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The Amplified Version says it this way, but I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Seek Him and be responsive to His guidance. Then you will surely not carry out the desires of your sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and His principles. You see, you can be filled with the Spirit and not walk in the Spirit. There is a difference. You are filled with the Spirit when you're saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you can even speak in other tongues. But if you don't walk in the Spirit, you'll never fulfill God's purpose for your life. We're here not to suck air. We're here not to waste time. If you're wasting time, then why are you even in a church building on Sunday morning? You can watch online in your pajamas. Say amen or oh my. Amen. If that's you and convicts you, then you need to be in the house of God. Amen. See, because the Spirit of God does not produce fear. Amen. The Spirit of God produces faith. Amen. And it's time for this whole pandemic foolishness to be broken in the house of God. Amen. The world has a right to be afraid, but the church has no right to be afraid. For if we walk in the Holy Ghost, then we will have the power of God resonating inside of us. And I'm not saying that it's not real, but I'm saying if God is for you, who can be against you? You see, the Spirit of God wants to take control of your life. The Spirit of God wants to rule your life. In Him we live and move and have our being. Jesus walked on this planet. He walked with the disciples. He walked with the 70. He corrected them. He taught them. He instructed them. And He led them from one location to the next location. He healed. He sent them out to do the healing. But you see, Jesus said, I'm going away. And if I don't go away, I can't send the Holy Ghost. I can't send the Spirit of God. You see, the reason that Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father and the Spirit of God was sent, because that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. And Jesus walked physically on the planet with the disciples, but could only minister to a few. But you and I have the Spirit of God, and God can work in every single one of us at the same time, teaching the way Jesus taught, leading the way Jesus led, rebuking the way Jesus rebuked, and honoring the way that Jesus honored. We are called and we have the Spirit of Christ in us. As believers, the Lord is calling us to start walking by the Spirit and start living by the flesh. The flesh is your enemy. The very enemy of God. One of the things that I see in these last days as I'm watching the churches fold all across the nation. We're watching the greatest sin that was shown, first of all, right in the Garden of Eden. And that was the sin of independence. You see, the spirit of independence is not the Spirit of God. God, by His Spirit, is calling us to be dependent upon Him. You see, you and I cannot live for God without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You can have all the good intentions. You can have all the good motivations. You can even have people around you that will cheer you on. But without the Holy Ghost taking prominence in your life, if you and I are independent of the Spirit of God, then we are going to fall short on a consistent basis, because the flesh is the enemy of God. Adam and Eve learned this. They decided to step out of what God's word was. They decided to become independent of God. The independence of God is absolute pride. It is amazing to me the arrogance of the people of this world. The arrogance of people that even call themselves believers, that do not involve the Holy Spirit in their life. How many of you can change tomorrow? How many of us know what tomorrow holds? How many of us know the very thoughts that will wisp through your brain, through the night dreams that you have? How many of us know how to do anything in reality? You see, the fact is that without the Holy Spirit, the only thing we can lean upon is the arm of flesh, which is frail in the sight of God. And God is calling his church back to a place where we will again have dependence on the Spirit of the Lord, because the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of life. And the Spirit of the Lord reveals the very principles that will allow us the power to live a daily life before Christ. We cannot live without the Holy Ghost. The flesh is a foul thing. We've lived to learn, and we've learned to live how to let the spirit of flesh rule our lives. This is the great battle of heaven and earth. The great battle is not with the devil. He's defeated. The great battle in your life is that you and I learn how to submit to God. Because until you submit to God, you can't resist the devil. Let me say it again. Until you learn how to submit to God, you cannot resist the devil. Which means if you do not submit to God, you are not dependent on God, then the only flesh you have cannot overcome the devil. I'm here to tell you, the devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy your life. He's not here to play games. He's not here, and he might hide a little bit, but man, when he manifests in your life, you know it's the demonic realm, and it's time to have the power of heaven to bind up that devil, the power of heaven to submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll cower and he'll flee from the believer, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Who's in you? The Holy Ghost. Shout, I need the Holy Ghost. Jesus wants us to know how to live like this. Jesus walked in the Spirit. Oh, but Jesus was the Son of God. But I want to remind you, according to Philippians chapter 2, he gave up all of his heavenly glory to come down here and live as a man. He lived as you and I are living. Why? Hebrews says, so that he's a Messiah that understands what man is going through. You see, if Jesus lived his life on this planet the way God would live, and what I mean by that is through only him being Christ the Messiah, then as humanity, Jesus of Nazareth, there would be no example to show us how to live successful. Jesus lived the way he lived, and he gave up all of his heavenly power, and he did not even do a work or a miracle or a sign and a wonder until he was baptized, until the Holy Ghost came upon him and the Lord spoke and commissioned. I'm here to tell you today that your life and my life are not our own, and we can play in this world, we can make money in this world, we can be successful in this world and be absolute failures in the sight of eternity. I'm here to call the church back to the place of, I need the Holy Ghost more than I need anything else. I need the Holy Ghost more than I need my breath. I need the Holy Ghost more than I need my life. I need the Holy Ghost, for without the Holy Ghost, I have nothing on this planet. Just a flesh being. But when you're born again, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You're not a flesh being anymore. That Spirit of God dwells inside of you. Man, I want you to recognize that you are supernatural. If God dwells in you, you are supernatural. You're not just making it by, but God is dwelling inside of you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. There's nothing impossible if you only believe. You see, you can't see yourself the way you've been seeing yourself through the arm of flesh. Oh, pastor, I'm struggling real hard. Well, stop your struggling and stand up. Start to speak the word of God. Start letting the Spirit of the Lord direct you even how to think, how to act. You see, that's what Jesus taught. Your flesh is your enemy. You've got to resist the flesh. You got to fight the flesh. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 8, for those who are living according to the flesh, set their minds of things of the flesh which gratify the body. But those who are living according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit, His will and His purposes. Now the mind of the flesh is death, both now and forever, because it pursues sin. But the mind of the Spirit of life and peace and the spirit well-being that comes from walking with God, both now and forever, the mind of the flesh, which is a sinful pursuit, is actively hostile to God. It does not submit itself to God's law, since it cannot. And those who are in the flesh, living a life that caters to sinful appetites and impulses, cannot please God. I want you to hear me. Without the Holy Spirit, you will not make it to heaven. Without understanding Him in your life, without understanding the third person of the triunity, without understanding how He works in your life, you are going to struggle, and most will not make it, because they will not learn how to submit. They will not learn how to be led. They will not learn how the Spirit of God gives them power. They will not learn how to stand. And after you've done all you can do to stand, therefore, God said, it's time for the church to arise, but not by your power, by His power. Independence is the most horrific thing a believer can have. So many of us live our independent lives. We go to church on a Sunday. We might crack open a devotional on Monday. We might read a little Kumbaya on Thursday. We might say a nice little prayer because hell starts licking our toes on Friday. But until you learn how to walk in the Spirit, until you learn how to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost, you are going to be up and down like a roller coaster through your whole spiritual walk. And God is saying, if you're always on the roller coaster, you're always screaming, your hands are out, man, your mouth. Come on now, some of you might not even make it through the roller coaster ride without vomiting all over the person behind you. But I'm here to tell you today, it's time for the church to understand that I'm not in control. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. I said it earlier, in Him we live and move and have our being. We've got to learn how to submit to the Holy Ghost. Do you want to know how you know if you'll submit or not? Is if you're obedient to God. Well, it got quiet, didn't you? Did you hear the hush of heaven? Most believers are obedient to where they allow God to run in their life. In fact, they've planned their own careers. They've planned their own day. They've planned how and what they're going to do. But you and I don't know what we're going to do. We can have vision, and God should be birthing the vision within our spirit. But the fact is that you don't know where you're going to be tomorrow. You don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. You don't even know if you're going to be on this planet tomorrow. We've got to have an understanding that in Him we live and move and have. If I'm going to walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, a lot of believers don't want to be obedient to God. They want God to be obedient to them. They want God to run around and do their nice little things that they're asking Him to accomplish. Oh, God, I need this. Oh, God, I'm in trouble. Oh, God, I need peace. Oh, God, I need this. They're always asking, but never giving. I want you to recognize the principle of reciprocity, that until you give what's in your hand, you can't get the next thing. Until you give more of your life, you can't have the next level. Until you surrender to the Holy Ghost and are more obedient to the Lord, you cannot rise to the next outpouring of God in your life. You see, every outpouring is determined by the level of dependence on the Holy Spirit. Your next outpouring is dependent on your next level of obedience to the Holy Ghost. We need to learn how to obey God. Say amen. Amen. I said say amen. Amen. Shout, I will obey. I will obey. Oh, that's okay until He tells you to do something you don't want. That was really good. Until the Word tells you you're no longer allowed to do this. See, so many of you, so many of us, I got to paint the picture, it's me too. So many of us are good, until the Spirit of God says, I told you already 5 years ago to stop that. I told you 5 years ago, you're not allowed to do that anymore. Oh, but God, I like it. And I'm still going to church. I'm still giving my tithe. Oh, God, I'm still doing this and I'm still doing. And God is saying, no, 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 you don't understand. Because of your independence from me, I cannot pour out my Spirit upon your life. You are hindering the move of the Holy Ghost and what Jesus has for your life. I don't know about you. I tell you what will happen. You're going to start getting bored in the Spirit. You're going to start getting bored in church. You're going to start getting bored in worship. You're going to start getting bored in this walk with Jesus. Because if you always stay at the same level, because you then start becoming so familiar, you no longer are dependent on the Spirit of the Lord. The only way to go to a next level is to get by faith. I walk by faith and not by sight, where now I don't know, I've never been here before. But because I've never been here before, I've got to fall in the arms of the everlasting God. I've got to be there with him because he will guide me. He will direct me. These are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. But you cannot be led if you're leading. Say amen. Amen. The flesh has a voice. The world has a voice. The devil has a voice. And the Holy Ghost has a voice. Until you learn how to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost, you are going to constantly struggle because you're going to listen to so many voices. Listen now, how many of you know the greatest deceiver is not Satan? The greatest deceiver is yourself. You can convince yourself that you're okay. Come on now. You can convince yourself that you're doing nice things. Listen, all these people that have gone out and killed all these people across the planet. We can even talk about Adolf Hitler. We can talk about all of these mean, nasty, foul people that are in history books about the malicious destruction of humanity. They all thought in their own mind they were okay. There's a way that seems right unto man that leads to death. But if they knew the Spirit of God would have said no. But because they ruled their own life, they can't tell between right and wrong. They've slid into a reprobate mind, yet they're still in the church. Oh, come on now, Adolf Hitler still believed in God. He said, I still believe in God. He was raised in a home that taught God. But I want you to recognize, he thought he was right, but he didn't know the Holy Ghost. There's so many believers that don't know the Holy Ghost. You don't know the Spirit of God. And in this season, it is time to grow up in Christ. Can I hear an amen? It is time to start maturing in your relationship with Jesus. It's time to start knowing the voice of the Spirit of God. You are led by the Spirit of God. You are anointed by the Holy Spirit. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit. The grace comes as the Holy Ghost is inside of you. I need the Holy Ghost more than I've ever needed before. Signs and wonders are poured out by the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost, church. We can't obey him in the little things. We'll never obey him in the big things. God, as you start maturing, he's going to start putting his finger on small things in your life. No more. But there's nothing wrong with that. I don't even see it wrong in the Bible. God is not seeing whether it's wrong in the Bible. The Holy Ghost is wondering, are you willing to submit it? Because no matter what the cost, I want all of God, no matter what he costs me. If he tells me to sit on that altar for 10 days, I'm going to sit on that altar for 10 days. Ah, come on now. They were in the upper room, come on now, for 10 days. If they did not stay in that room, they did not know what they were coming after. But Jesus made a statement, go tarry in Jerusalem till you receive the promise of the Father. And they knew it had to do with the Holy Ghost. They just didn't know what it meant. If they had gotten up on day 9, there wouldn't be a church today in this world. Are you willing to obey the Holy Ghost? Are you willing to respond to his prompting? Man, the Spirit of God has been rebuking me for 7 to 10 years. Yeah, it doesn't mean we're all smart. He's told me to study the anatomy of man. So I started about last fall, started studying the anatomy of man. He said, I want you to know the anatomy of man, because in the last days, I'm going to pour out the gifts of the Spirit with the word of knowledge. And I'm going to show you in the body where it's sick. I'm going to have you even call out names and diseases and sicknesses. And you're going to be able to call them out. And when they're called out, the Holy Ghost is going to bring the miracle. The Holy Ghost is going to bring the healing. But you see, until I obey, that cannot manifest. Until you obey God, your next level cannot be manifested. Until you are dependent on the Holy Ghost, you cannot move ahead. What is that thing the Holy Spirit is saying? No more. Until we learn this, I'm telling you, we're going to be constantly being a frustrated kingdom. But God doesn't have time for a frustrated kingdom. That's why some, according to our text, some will miss it. They will miss it. Listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. It's going to happen fast. Will you not be aware if there are people that are going to miss the next outpouring of God's Holy Spirit? Well, I'm just old. You're not old, too old. You're not dead. If you're not dead, you've got destiny. Can I hear an amen? If you're never too young, let the children lead them. Come on now. Little David, a mighty man of God in the early 1950s, was 5 years old, and he was having 10 revivals of 10,000 people, laying hands on sick people at 5 years old. You're never too young. You're never too old. If you're alive, we must be walking in the Spirit to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. Well, I'm retired. You're never retired until you're dead. Obedience. It is an earmark of dependence. When you're unwilling to be obedient to God in the little things, you will never be trusted with big things. That's why if you can't be trusted with the tithe, you'll never be trusted with great wealth. If you can't tie the dime, God will never. Some man came to me one time. He goes, if I win the lottery, I'm going to tithe off it. And I didn't say nothing, but I thought it. I said, listen now, you told me yourself you don't believe in tithing. You won't tithe off a dollar. You'll never tithe off the lottery winnings. If you can't be trusted with the little, you'll never be trusted with the great. And if you want God to use your life, well, I don't really care. I just want to get to heaven. Then you probably aren't going. Because you don't have the mind of Christ. Listen now. Well, you know, I want to be feeling good when I leave church. I want you to feel good. You want to know why I want you to feel good? Because I want you to go to heaven. I not only want you to go to heaven, I want you to fulfill God's purpose for your life. I not only want you to fulfill God's purpose for your life, but I want you to hear when you get to the other side, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want you to know that God has you on this land for purpose and destiny, and that we must be walking in the Spirit. And if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We always think of lust of the flesh as sinful things. It's not just sinful things. It's things that hold us back from God's greatness. What are those things in your life? What are those things in your life? The Spirit of God has already put his finger on. The Word is already spoken about. The Spirit of God has already said no more. It could be as simple as watching TV. It could be as simple as driving down a certain street. Wow, that sounds foolish. No, you don't know. You don't know what could happen on that street if you keep disobeying God. You see, we become attentive to the Spirit of God's voice. Next week, I'm preaching on how to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. You don't want to miss it. How to identify his voice in your life. How to know if it's the devil, the world, or your flesh. How to hear him so clearly and crisply that when he whispers in your ear. Oh, the other day, I was actually about a few months ago, I was driving down the road and the Spirit of God told me to text some guy who's not born again and tell him that I was praying for him about a situation. Well, he never told me about a situation. I hadn't seen him probably about a month, but yet I texted that to him. I got no response back. No response back from him in any way, shape, or form. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I must have missed it. But I don't know. Let me tell you what happened. I went back a few months later, sat down, and he goes, I want you to know you're kind of spooky. He said, that day you texted that to me, that was exactly what was happening. And I leaned over when I got the text, and I showed my wife. And my wife said, that is spooky. And he says, yeah, he's a man of God. And he said, I'll listen to you, because you're a man of God. You see, God gives you a voice when you're willing to hear the voice. Well, I'm waiting to hear. Just the other day, I was driving again, and the Spirit of God told me, you know, the hounds of heaven are after that man. And he's driving. He told me, you tell him I'm praying for you. Decisions. Now, I haven't heard any response back, but I know if I heard it right the first time, I heard it right the second time, because I know the voice. When you walk in the Spirit, you will please God, and lives will be transformed through your life. But when you walk in the flesh, come on now, don't tell me you don't know. The convicting power of the Spirit of the Lord is upon you even right now in Jesus' name. You know you're in rebellion. You know you're not willing to listen. You know that you're avoiding what God is saying to your life. You know that, and you feel the twist of the Spirit of God inside your heart. He's doing that twist because he's trying to straighten you out. And if you'll obey him, you'll find that your life will change even in an instant of time. Because when you start walking in the Spirit, God's blessings come from heaven to earth. But you see, when you walk in the flesh, God will never bless from heaven the flesh, because the flesh is the enemy of God. And God will never cohabitate with an enemy. My question to all of us is simple. Who are we going to obey? My question to us is simple. Are we actually dependent on God, or just dependent enough to get us out of hell? Are we willing to obey him even when it's uncomfortable? There was a man who used to be a preacher. He divorced his wife and moved in with his girlfriend. One day I'm driving down the road and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I want you to contact him. I reached out to him. He didn't really know me, and we had met him maybe two or three times. But I contacted him and told him, I said, the Spirit of the Lord has sent me to talk to you. We met over at Olive Garden. And God spoke to him that day at the Olive Garden over a garden salad. As God spoke to him, he started to weep, he started to cry, and he recognized that it was a rebellion against the Lord. And he decided at that moment to bring transformation to his life. He said to me, but I'm living with my girlfriend, and there's no way. We bought a house together. There's no way that we can live. There's no way that we can break apart. There's no way that we can live in different homes. Financially, it will not happen. I said, then that's simple. You go sleep in the laundry room, let her have the bedroom, and the twain shall not meet in between. He obeyed that, got right with God, and God started using his life. I want you to recognize, if the Spirit of God is putting something on your heart and you don't respond, then you are going to be subtracted from the blessings of heaven, and your struggle will be greater than you've ever perpetuated. It's time to know that if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if you walk in the Spirit and you walk in obedience, you're dependent on God, and God is going to pour out his blessing on your life more than you could ever even understand. My question to us is this. We've got to consecrate, separate, live holy lives. Now, how many of you know you're not perfect? You better get your hand up, or you're going to hell for sure. How many of you know you're not perfect? But I got good news for you. God knows you're not perfect either, and he's not going to give up on you. The Spirit of God is not going to walk away from you. He's going to convict you. He's going to realign you. He's going to hound you. He's going to draw you. He's going to touch you. He's going to rebuke you. He's going to build you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to empower you. He's going to fill you, and you are going to be such a vessel for God that this world is going to have to sit back and say, where did you come from? I was sent from heaven just for you. The question is, are we going to allow God to use us, or are we just going to keep using God? Are we going to submit to him and become dependent on heaven, or are we going to be people that are going to tell God, listen now, you are okay to speak and guide my life as long as you don't disrupt my life? Oh, those are heavy sayings. But the fact is, that's how we live. Now, I had a freaking Bible college. I just want to help you understand God's not called you to be a freak. Turn to someone and say, don't be a freak. Had a kid in Bible college. He came to me one day and he wore a tie that didn't match his socks. And I said to him, your tie don't match your socks. And he said, the Holy Ghost told me to wear them. And I went, freak. And I let him keep talking. He said, I pray before I ever get dressed. Holy Ghost, what color underwear do you want me to wear? Holy Ghost, what shirt do you want me to wear? Holy Ghost, what tie do you want? God's not calling you to be a freak. Amen. Say amen. Amen. He gave you a brain. He gave you a head. But you have the mind of Christ. And as you learn how to walk in the Spirit, he'll nudge you one way. He'll push you this way. He'll tap you this way. And if you don't listen, he'll slap you that way. But one way or another, we know the voice of God. He dwells inside of us. And if we're led by him, we will walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of our flesh. And we'll be victorious on this earth. And we'll be able to cast our crowns before Jesus because we please him. We've been soul winners. We've been people that not have given up on the rapture of the church. And we're going to run this race to win. And we're going to cross the finish line as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Will you choose to walk in the Spirit, or will you choose to walk in your flesh? Will you choose to appease your passions and your desires that you have been having in your life for decades, some of you, and you know God has put his finger on and said, no more, and you keep saying, God, someday I'll give it up. And God is not saying, I didn't tell you someday. I said right now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need to know that we're not serving a God that is a man. We're not serving a God that is a religion. We're serving the King of Kings, that the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We're serving the one true God, the one who is all in all. Obedience says dependence. Obedience says dependence. Dependence says I walk in the Spirit. Where you direct me, I will walk. Where you direct me, I will go. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for an increase right now, the Spirit of God in this room. I thank you that you're going to empower right now. I speak to bondages right now in Jesus' name. Some have been carrying the bondage of alcoholism. Some have been carrying the bondage of addiction to drugs. Some have been carrying the addiction to sexuality. Some have been carrying the addiction, Lord, even of their mind, they can't bring it into order. Lord, I bind that in Jesus' name. And I say that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that dwells inside shall quicken. I release the power of God. I break the bondages. I command them to be loosed in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you there are those in this room right now that are brokenhearted. God, their minds, their souls have been wounded decades ago. Father, even some of them beyond that. Father, they've been walking wounded. But the Jesus that I know, the Spirit of God that I know, came to heal the brokenhearted. We release the healing power that is not available by man, not available by pill, not available by counsel, but God only by the Spirit of the Lord. Spirit of God, move in this place. Lord, I just thank you that today we are not your church in weakness. We are your church in strength. We are not your church, oh God, in disobedience. We are your church in obedience. We are not your church that is lame and lackadaisical and lazy, but we are filled with the Holy Ghost and with power, and that we are people of the anointing of the Spirit of God. And Jesus, that you will use us to bring glory to your name in these last days. Someone right now watching by live stream, it's your first time on live stream. In fact, you're wondering what's going on. I release the anointing right now into your home. I release the anointing from the top of your head. It's going to feel just like a coat coming on you from the top of your head. Go. Now you need to confess Christ. Now you need to say, Jesus, I need you in my life. God brought you to this channel. God brought you to this moment. Now it's your turn to become dependent on heaven. Jesus, I need you in my life. Change me from within. Oh God, make us saints that are saved from ourselves, saved from our flesh, that we walk more by the Spirit of God
than we do by the spirit of flesh. There's a man named Smith Wigglesworth. I'd encourage you to read anything you can get from him. He's far dead. He died in, I believe, maybe 70s. Was it 70s or 50s? I don't know. He's dead. He was a plumber by trade. Third grade education. Couldn't read or write. But one day, he got in the Salvation Army in England. And he got born again. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. Started speaking with the tongues. Couldn't even read the Bible. That's how he learned. His wife taught him how to read by using the Bible. Here is a man that was known through history of raising, I believe, 7 to 8 people from the dead, 3 of them embalmed. So many miracles and signs and wonders. But he learned how to walk in the Spirit. Let me tell you just 2 of the events. One time, Dr. Lester Sumrall appeared on his doorstep. He had an invitation to go sit with Smith Wigglesworth. He got to the outside of the house and he had an umbrella, if you were in England, a hat, a derby, and he had a newspaper stuck under his arm. Smith Wigglesworth came to the door and said, "Hello, sir, what's under your arm?" He said, "A newspaper." He said, "Throw that thing in the bushes. I've never allowed that foul demon in my house, and I'll never allow it beyond that doorstep. So you better throw it down or you're not coming in." The newspaper? But here's a man who did so many signs and wonders that is written in the analogs and history books. Here's a man that would not go 10 minutes without reading the scripture. 10 minutes! Everybody wants the power, but no one wants the price. We all want to walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but we don't want to pay the price for it. And the price is obedience. If he tells you to jump, it's not, "What do you mean?" It's, "How high?" "Don't tell me what to do." Wrong God. That's the God of religion, where you feel you have a right to question who he is, what he is, and what he does. Listen, I don't mind talking to God. I don't mind debating with God. "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow." But the fact is, if God says jump, we should be jumping. Where would I be today if I had obeyed God 8 years ago? See, here's the fact. Our lack of walking in the Spirit doesn't just affect us. It affects everybody around us. And so our lack of obedience to God will always cost somebody, maybe even their soul. If my wife and I hadn't been led by the Spirit to start this church in 1998, you would not be sitting in this room. Some of you would be saved. Many of you have been saved in this room and would never have been. That's not greatness to anybody. That's obedience to someone. Our obedience changes lives. When we walk in the Spirit, we'll please God. What is God saying to you? What is God telling you? Some of you, God is just telling you to shut up. You talk too much. Some of you are so negative that everybody gets around you, they feel dirty, they got to go take a shower when they leave. Some of you speak more doubt and unbelief than you speak faith. And some of you just make God your convenience store, to where you come and visit only when you need some. It's time to walk in the Spirit, which means he can't have more of you until you give him more of you. What are you willing to give to God? Your obedience. You want to walk in the Spirit? You want God's blessings? I love when people look at my life. We were talking last night with a couple. People look at our lives. "You're rich. You're blessed. My goodness. You got everything." I grew up in a poor house. My mama's sitting on the second row. My sister is too. How many years did we walk planks in that house? 4 years, we walked on planks in our home because all the floors were torn up. It was a 250-year-old house with a dirt cellar with a well in the basement where in one room, they never let their dog out of the house. He defecated, urinated in that room for as many years as he was there, just piles of feces in the basement. There were piles of old molded clothes from the floor of that dirt all the way to the ceiling of the house, the ceiling to the first floor. In that house, we walked on planks. There was no heat in the top floor. There was no heat up there. Man, I could literally etch my name in the window when I got up in the morning. I had to have 7-8 blankets just to stay warm. I didn't grow up rich. I didn't grow up I had no spoon in my mouth. My wife grew up not in a double-wide trailer. My wife grew up in 2 single-wide trailers cut down the middle and stuck in the middle. Her bedroom was about the size of this little outcropping here. A bunk bed with her and her sister. She wore all her sister's hand-me-downs and her sister's little house on the prairie. Pastor Rhonda had to learn how to sew to make her own skirts. But I want you to know, because we made a decision, I'm going to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust. There's the anointing right there. I'm going to walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They trip me up because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. You might just use that during the offering to say your little thing, but I live that thing. That is the blessings of heaven on my life because I've chosen to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because if I was going to fulfill the lust of the flesh, God knows this would have been my last winter in Horseheads, New York. I'm moving south where it's warm. Obeying God is the greatest thing that you can do. My question is this. What is He asking you to obey Him in? Oh, come on now. Don't think about your husband or your wife. Don't think about somebody else. Because if you've got nothing, it means you ain't hearing. Because we all got something. I said we all got something. Next week, I'm going to teach you how to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to teach you. You're going to learn how to identify between the three spirits, the spirit of man, the spirit of the devil, and the spirit of God. And then you'll have no excuse except your learning curve. What if I'm wrong? But what if you're right? What if I make a mistake? Get up and keep running. What if I choose to be disobedient? I'd repent real quick. Because God's got great plans for your life. Don't let them die in the dirt beside you because you want to control your life. My life's not my own. I've been bought with a price. What was that song, that bought song? No, that bought song on Nisi. He bought me. I might sing that second service. I don't know. Go back to the office and learn it real quick. My question to you is, if you're not born again, you think you're in control of your life? You're crazy. You can die today. If you die without the blood of Jesus washing your sins away, then you'll end up in hell, the holding tank, and soon will be in the lake of fire. Don't try to scare the hell out of me. Well, somebody's got to. Because it's better to have the hell scared out of you here than living it there. Because you can change here, but you can't change when you get there. You see, without Jesus, you can't go to heaven. And without the Holy Ghost, you can't even be drawn. Right now, you're being drawn. Right now, the Spirit of God is pulling you to Himself. This is your day. Today is the day of salvation. Right now. Now is the time. Bow your heads with me this morning. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is your moment to give your heart to Christ. If you know there's a sin between you and God, you know that you're in rebellion against heaven. You know, come on now, don't play the game. Well, I don't want anybody to see, that's pride. Put your pride in your pocket and repent. If you're watching online, this YouTube, it's your moment. If you need Jesus Christ to wash your sins away, you want God to make you new. You want to start walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. You want God to say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You want to see him for all of eternity. I want you to slide your hand up. I need Jesus to wash my sins away. Is there anyone in the room? I don't have time. Thank you, sir. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else in the room? 5, 4, 3, 2. I'm going to pause at 1. Get your hand up. And 1. If you're watching online, you need to get right with Jesus. Grab your cell phone, dial 97000. Type in the word, I am saved. Someone's going to get a hold of you. Before even the day is over, we're going to make sure that you know Christ as your Savior. Father, I pray for your church. Oh, not my church. I pray for your church, which includes me. Oh, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, draw us to Jesus. Convict us of sin. Empower us within. Anoint us from on high that we can share the gospel by and by. Oh, Jesus, heal our bodies. Heal our minds. Make your church whole, that we can run this race to win, and no weight will hold us back. In the name, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the name. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We honor you. In Jesus' name. Let me tell you what my head's trying to do right now. My head's trying to say, how are we going to, if I don't let this go now, not have collisions in the parking lot? One of these days, we're just not going to leave. And the second service will just have to join us. Is that all right? I don't know how that's going to look. I'm sorry already, parking lot ministry. I'm sorry already, security ministry. But there's going to come a time. Oh, there he is. There's going to come a time when he's going to do a mighty work where it's not going to stop. Just need to know. Joe Parmeter, stand up for a second. I want you to hear me. In your heart, at times you felt like you've got to live up to something. I've asked God, this is why I've been taking time. Do I say this out loud or not? But I think there needs to be a witness. Honey, will you stand with your husband? God is saying to you that there has never been a place and a need for you to feel like you have not lived up to what others have accomplished or others are. And the reason you have always felt a little odd is because God has a touch of heaven in your life that is very unique. Lacey being in your life is part of that call. She is very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And God is going to start using you ministry-wise. And you're just going to look back in a few years if Jesus tarries. And you're going to remember this day. God has set you apart, sir. And God has special things. That's why you've always felt the way you felt. That old rebellious streak you got in you, Joe, is because you are that kind of man that God needs, that you are so rebellious when you learn something, you are going to rebel against the false to go to the true. And God is going to use you as a man with like a pipe sticking up your back. You are not going to move to the right hand or the left. And as you continue to submit to the Holy Ghost, you're going to find blessings are going to chase you down, trip you up. You're going to find that you're even going to be blown away at the blessings that heaven has for your life. I know you've never had that happen before, and I don't usually do that, but I fought not to. Hear it, and it's marked. I want him to have a copy of this, please, so that he can always look back and read. I love you. Pastor Jenkins. Preparation is always a part of who God is. But what's pleased God about your life is you've been willing to learn. God, tonight, at times you've struggled with learning, especially the book learning. But God today is going to do something different in your mind. He's going to fix things so your memory is going to be extremely well. You've shied away from being as studious because of your struggle. That's changing from this day forward. Because God's preparing you for what he has for you. Remember, we talked about it the other day. Today is the mark of that day. It is April 25th, 2021 at 10:46:02. In the name of Jesus, I release the power of God right now. Reconstruct. Look, now here's the anointing. In Jesus' name. Release that apostolic anointing. Oh, here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. Don't you hear me? Whoa! God blessed Solomon with so much wisdom that the Queen of Sheba had to come. You know what they said? Is that men would pay him enormous amounts of money. All other leaders that weren't Jews paid him enormous amounts of money. I just woke up kind of thing. Enormous amounts of money just to hear him talk. God said, always keep me first. Solomon in the end sadly did not. All prophecies are conditional. You follow God all the days of your life, you remain teachable. they will mark your name, and you won't need an epitaph. Huh? In the name of Jesus, I seal that right now. I just had another word for somebody, and I look down, they're already gone. You do know that you can miss the word of the Lord, right? You do know that, right? You can miss what God's doing in your life. That's that verse in Isaiah. Don't miss it. Your eye has not seen, your ear has not heard, your mind cannot even conceive the great things that God has in store for those who love Him. Have only just begun. Get ready. I'm going to release you. If you raise your hand for salvation, Mindy's right here. If you did not raise your hand to get right with God, you need to. Mindy's right here. We love you. Father, release a blessing on the house in the name of Jesus. I declare you're raising up men and women of God who are going to change this entire state of New York. I declare, God, you will raise up politicians within this room that will have a godly voice in this region. I declare in the name, whoop, there it is, go. I declare in the name of Jesus that people in this room will be known as being laying hands on the sick and they shall recover. Father, not the preachers, but every human right now. Lord, every son and daughter right now. I release the spirit of prophecy in this room in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that you're raising up a supernatural church, and we will change forward for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. We love you. Have an amazing day.